give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around again?
Welcome to Hopecasts, where our true stories brighten your day by providing insight and encouragement. I invite you to listen as my husband, Dr. Ken Brown, shares one of his amazing personal experiences that will inspire and stir your soul. Even in the challenges of life's darkest moments, you can always find a glimmer of hope through the love of God. So settle in, open your heart, and let's journey together through the power of storytelling.
Brother from another mother, I want to tell you a most unusual story. I was a police officer and I was at CEO Bick Police College. I was in training. And by the way, when you're a police officer, the training never stops. You get trained on this and trained on that. And when you finish that training, then 2 weeks later, you're back training on something else. The training is never ending. Well, this time I was at this college and I was actually at lunch in a large cafeteria that sat about 200 cops. Some were in uniform, some were in plain clothes, some were in PT uniforms. And I was eating my lunch. And I was actually had a book in front of me, my Bible, and also a book by C.S. Lewis called The Problem of Pain. And I was preparing for the Bible study that I was going to lead that night for the police officers that attended our Fellowship of Christian Police Officers Bible study that happened on every Monday night. And I was preparing because this was a topic, a very important topic. So many officers had a problem with pain. They would say, well, how come a loving, all-powerful God would allow this or that? And officers ran into the this and that all the time, the horrors of life. Well, I was there reading and eating my sandwich, and I looked up, and across the room, there was this fellow, this black guy. He was a cop. He was in uniform, and he threw me a dazzling smile, and he nodded at me. I had never seen him before. He had white teeth, a beautiful smile, but I never met him. I just didn't know who he was. Why is he smiling at me? Kind of weird, right? You know, but I was across, I don't know, maybe seven tables away from him, eight maybe, and I kind of nodded in his direction. And I went back to my reading, and I just could feel someone was looking at me. So I glanced up again, and there was this guy again. Only this time he smiled at me, and then he waved, and I kind of put my hand up like a little wave like that, a half-hearted wave, because I really didn't want to be disturbed. He was sitting with this other cop, and with that, he stood up, and I could see him talking to this other officer, and they both stood up, and they walked over to my table, and they're standing by me, and they said, hi. He says, I'm Art Francis. I said, hi, Art. I'm Ken Brown. Nice to meet you. And he says, what are you reading? I said, well, I'm reading The Problem of Pain by C.S. Lewis, and it's a book that talks about why God would allow suffering, and basically the mystery of pain. If God is all loving, he's all powerful, he's all wise and all knowing, he can do anything, why would he let children die? Why would he let so many of the situations occur that we are faced to endure? We're first responders. We go first on scene, and we see the death and the horror and the carnage of life. We see people who are suffering, and of course, we don't know why. With that, this Caucasian officer that's beside him kind of looked at me, and he said to Art, he says, this is a setup. You know each other. And Art said, no, I've never met him. I said, no, I don't know who he is. He said, you had to. You had to know each other. This is a setup because I was just telling Art this very thing. The reason I don't believe, the reason I can't become a Christian is because of all the problems that I see, all the unfair suffering. And now you're talking about this? This is a setup. He says, and more than that, Art, you said you could pick out a Christian from across the room. You surely found this fella, this guy that is sounding like you. He talks like you. He looks like you. He smiles like you. You must be friends, colleagues. And so with that, Art put his hand down, and I put my white hand beside his brown hand, and we looked at each other, and we smiled. And he says, yes. And then we both said at the same time, we're brothers from another mother. And he says, we're brothers. I said, yeah, we're brothers in the Lord. The Lord has made us one in Jesus. And that's how come he knew who I was, by the Spirit. And that's why we talk the same way, because, and I held up the Bible, because we read the same book. We share, we listen, we live inside this book, inside the Bible. And that's why we're talking the same way. And then I was able to invite him to that meeting that night to hear me expound on the problem of pain and suffering and why God would allow it. Unfortunately, I wish I could be able to say that, yes, he came, but he didn't come to that meeting. I think he was too spooked. But guess who did come? Art. And from that moment on, Art and I became very, very good friends. And we'd be telling our testimony, how we met, how it was a supernatural incident, how he could discern who I was his brother, from across a room, and how the very words that he was saying to this man and witnessing to him were exactly the thing that I was studying with a book. And I shared the same thing with him, and how that made that man so, it bugged him, and it made that man think that we had set him up. And he could not believe that it was just the Holy Spirit. Well, we became friends for several years. One night, I spoke at this large church because someone had died, and I had to do backup. It was 2,200 people, and I shared a story of Jesus and the centurion that said, truly, this man, what is the Son of God? That centurion that officiated at the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And it was a powerful meeting. And I was so honored, not just because I was asked to speak at one of the largest churches in Toronto, it's because my mom and dad, for the first time, came to hear me speak and preach. My father had not been to a church since his father had died in 1948. And for the very first time, he attended church, and the very first time he had heard his son preach. And my mom and dad invited not just me, but all of my friends and their wives to come back to their house for some refreshments after the evening service. I said, what happened? What happened to my parents? What? Because you see, they never had invited any of my friends ever, not once, to their house. They were very reclusive. My father was a loner, and he believed that his house was his castle, and he didn't let people into his castle. And to have him not only come to church, but to have everyone be invited, I just couldn't understand it, because he was a little strange, and he was a little intimidating because he was a scholar. So then I warned my group of friends. I said, now, when you meet my father, just got to be careful now, because he's a little strange. He might be a little judgmental. He might, you know, kind of intimidate you a little bit. But just know that when he warms up to you, he'll be good. Well, we had a nice meeting, and everybody came, including Art Francis, and we had a great evening, and they played the host, and they were very warm, and in fact, there was nothing at all that I detected that was wrong. But the next week, Art Francis wasn't at the Bible study. And then about 3 weeks later, he came again, only this time, he wasn't looking at me. It wasn't like, there was like this hardness in his eyes. There was like this he looked sideways at me. And all of a sudden, this story of, you know, we're brothers from another mother, and we would tell the story and hold our hands out. All of a sudden now, it was like this resistance, this hardness, this closeness, and I could feel it. I tried to approach him. I tried to find out what, but I didn't understand at all what was going on inside of him. This went on for 2 years, and I tried to meet him for coffee, but he resisted, and pretty soon, he wasn't even coming to the meeting. So I finally told my dear friend, who was the president, Dino Doria, I said, I don't know what's going on with Art. What have I done? How have I mortally wounded him? How have I offended him? So he talked to Art. And what Art took from my comment was that my father was prejudiced. And my father would have something against him because he was black. And even though he was fine, he realized that suddenly I was raised in a home with prejudice, and probably I was secretly warning him not even to come to his house. He was not even invited or welcomed. But it had nothing to do with that at all. But you see, what had happened is the enemy had gotten in. As wonderful as the Holy Spirit had put us together, the enemy also insidiously weaved a lie in and separated our friendship. But thank you, Lord. Once I knew the truth, I was able to go to my brother. Only this time I was armed with the facts. Different than the other times we had met. This time I said, brother, you made a mistake. That had nothing to do with it. What I was talking about is my father is a recluse. He's someone that doesn't like people. And I was so surprised that he even came to church. Never mind invite people to his house. It had absolutely nothing to do with race. And by this time, he realized I was being so sincere. And he hugged my neck. And once again, we became brothers from another mother. We were brothers in law, and we were brothers in the Lord once again. God wants to work a wonderful grace in your life by bringing you into God's family. And if you're lonely and you're longing, life may have problems still. There still may be crises in this world. You will have tribulation. But the good news is you don't have to do this alone. Jesus is with you. And more than that, God puts the lonely in families. And he puts you in a family as well. If you'll let him, he'll make you brother and sister with so many people that love the Lord. And he'll be able to give you a chance to have real, genuine relationships. Give God a chance to lead you to people that will love you and relate to you and be willing even to fight to have a relationship with you. It's worth it. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning into HopeCast for inspiring stories that will touch your heart. If today's story encouraged you, then please subscribe to our channel and visit us at hopecast.org to learn more. You can also watch the video version of this story and many more from Dr. Brown on our HopeCasts, YouTube, or listen on our Spotify, Apple, or Amazon Music podcasts. Until next time, keep holding on to hope, and please share these stories with someone who really needs encouragement. May God bless you.
I've been searching and I've been seeking. It seems like you're nowhere to be found. And I'd do anything just to see you. If I close my eyes, will I see you now? Cause I know faith holds in what can be seen. But my hope feels like a distant dream. Give me a glimmer of hope again. Save me from all my wandering. If I've been looking in all the wrong places, would you turn me back around?